Psalm 119 and verse 18. And the word of God says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Amen. And let's just bow together in prayer. And we do so not out of mere habit, but we pray before we come to the preaching of the word because we're looking for the Lord's grace and help. And so I encourage you to pray as well. Ask the Lord to speak through his word to you today. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for the word of God open before us. We acknowledge, O Lord, that we need thy voice to be heard today. We thank thee that as a people we have the privilege of the word of God. And we pray that today you will give to us that meek and humble spirit to receive it, to see it that it is profitable to our souls. And we pray that it will meet our needs. And we thank thee, Lord, that your word is that inexhaustible word, always fresh. And we pray that today it will come with freshness to our souls and be meat and drink to our hearts. And pray that you will give help. We ask now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now this verse of God's precious word really can be seen as a prayer from David to the Lord to enable him to understand the word of God. As such, then, it is a most noble cry and a prayer that all of God's people should desire for and seek and take upon their hearts to replicate what David felt and what David did in response to the need that he had. And I would suggest to you that our own experiences demonstrate the reality of this prayer. For David asks for his eyes to be opened, that he may behold wondrous things out of the law of God. And isn't it true that so often as we read the scriptures, it can feel as though it were closed to us, that we do not benefit from the word, that we turn to the scriptures and we read a passage and perhaps we're confused. We don't understand why it is relevant for us today or what application it may have to you. Often this occurs because we lack understanding. If you look there in the verse 34 of this same Psalm, Psalm 119, David says, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." And you will notice, therefore, that in David's desire to obey the Lord, to observe the Lord's commandments, he's asking for understanding. And that is very obvious. If we don't understand what God's word says, how then can we follow it? How can we be obedient to it? Our text reveals that David identified this problem in his own life. And he asked the Lord for help. And this is paramount for us today. And I wonder whether or not, as we consider this subject, have you had such an experience as you've opened the Word of God and you've been brought to a point where you've sought the Lord in prayer and said, "Lord, I need help. I need your help to understand the Word of God." And look again with me in the verse 104. Of this same chapter, just to demonstrate to you that this was not some passing prayer, it is something that David constantly prays. The verse 104, he says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." And so David is praying for this understanding that he may walk pleasingly before the Lord. The scriptures reveal to us the will of God. And therefore, we as God's people are to come to the word of God prayerfully, seriously, with a desire to know the will of God. And I want you to see with me that the request here is not for a plainer Bible. David does not ask the Lord to give to him a word that is easier to understand. In other words, the blame is not laid upon the word of God. We are not to say God's word is hard. God has given a word that is too difficult to understand. This is too obscure. Rather, David says, the problem is my mind, my heart. I am blinded. I cannot see these things. God's word is this wonderful book, and yet because my eyes are covered, my eyes are blinded, I cannot see these things. You see, our spiritual sight is inadequate such that we all need to ask the Lord to uncover our minds and our hearts, that we may be able to look upon those marvelous things that are in the Word of God. You see, what David is acknowledging is that his human abilities are not sufficient to grasp the full meaning of Scripture. Look with me in verse 17. He says there, deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. And in these words, there really is an indication of grace being asked. Deal bountifully. Deal graciously with thy servant. David is acknowledging that divine grace is needed. The infilling of the Holy Ghost, who breathed these very words, is needed within our lives in order to understand, in order to live by the word of God. You see, our own confession makes this very clear. In the chapter on the Scriptures, there is the statement on the supreme judge on all matters, and it says there that it can be no other but the Holy Spirit speaking in the Scriptures. And so this truth, therefore, of our need of divine grace, our need of the help of the Spirit of God to understand the Word of God, it imposes upon us our utter dependency upon God as we come to the Word of God. And again, I ask you today, do you sense that? Every day as you open the Word of God, do you not have that sense? I need the Lord. I need grace. I need the Spirit of God to open my heart and my mind up to it. I need the Spirit to apply this word to my heart and my life. Surely our own experiences suggest the necessity of this. Do we not all, as God's people, experience this terrible thing, really, of coming to the Word of God and struggling to know, struggling to see? And perhaps you found that some matter in your life and you want to know the Lord's will. You come to the Word of God and it seems as though it were a closed book. You head out to work and there is a barrenness, there's a dryness within your heart. Is there not within you that longing, O God, that I might know Thee more through Your Word? Is there not within your heart, therefore, the very thing that we see here in this verse that David prays, open mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. I want to consider with you from this verse, understanding the Scriptures. Understanding the Scriptures. I want you to see with me firstly the inability to understand the Scriptures. The inability to understand the Scriptures. For the psalmist asked the Lord to open his eyes. And this, of course, is a reference not to his physical eyes, but to the opening of his mind or his heart. It therefore refers to spiritual sight. And this is vital, because the Word of God is a spiritual book. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2 and the verse 13. 1 Corinthians 2. And here the Apostle Paul speaks of spiritual things in reference to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 2 and the verse 13 says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." And so there is a reference there to the Word of God as being spiritual. It is our duty to search the Word of God and to compare the Word of God with itself. The Word of God is its own interpreter. But you will notice the description, spiritual things. You see, the contents of the Word of God deal with spiritual matters regarding the soul. They present to us the triune God, our Redeemer, spiritual things. But the very fact that David makes such a request here, that his eyes would be opened, is an admission of his inability to fully understand the Scriptures by natural means. You see, the word open here, it means to uncover, or to remove, to reveal. And it even has the sense of nakedness or exposure. If you turn with me to Genesis 9 and the verse 21, and just to demonstrate to you the strength of this word, and we turn to a most sad passage, for this is the account of Noah being drunk and becoming uncovered within his tent. But if you look with me in Genesis 9 and the verse 21, it says there of Noah, "And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent." And the word there, uncovered, is the very same word in our text. And so you see then that it has this sense of exposure. And so whenever David is saying, "Open thou mine eyes," he's asking the Lord to expose his eyes to the truth. It really has the picture of a blindfolded person. And you think of a person who's blindfolded, the cloth is covering their eyes, and so they can't see. They're in darkness. And you could shine a light at that person, and they wouldn't be able to see the light, because the blindfold is covering their eyes. And so in order for that person to see the light, there has to be the removing of the blindfold. And that really is what this word embodies. The removal of the blindfold that is upon the eyes. It indicates therefore the complete revealing of the light and truth of the word. You see, we have inability because of sin. Inability because of sin. For the condition implied by this word is that of man's natural spiritual blindness. You see, this is one of the sad and universal consequences of the fall. Sin darkens the intellect. It gives the will a bias against truth. The world by wisdom knew not God. And the very fact that sinners in their natural condition, you present the word of God to them, and it has no effect, it seems. You can shine the light, as it were, but they're blind, they cannot see. You see, whenever we are speaking to sinners, we recognize that not only do they need the light of the word, but they also need sight to see. Is that not so wonderfully illustrated as we think of the Apostle Paul and his conversion? When Ananias was there, we read that the scales fell from his eyes. And that really was showing that Paul was converted. Now the Christian has been given new spiritual life. The Christian therefore has spiritual sight. But yet, he still or she still battles against the errors and the fallacies of their sinful flesh. We live in the body of death. We have a mind that is still corrupted by sin. We have the limitations of our finite body. And there are other factors that can cause inability, ignorance, carnality, prejudice, pride, corrupt affections, human wisdom. All of these matters, these sinful things, can cause inability for us. And is that not illustrated throughout church history? As we see men coming to the Word of God, and perhaps they had a particular prejudice or bias. Perhaps they were affected by some other matter. They've come to the Word of God and they've applied a defective interpretation. And they've come to wrong conclusions. And they've demonstrated the very point I'm making, that their sinfulness has caused an inability to properly interpret the Word of God. But then I want you to see as well that we have inability without the illumination of the Spirit. We have inability without the illumination of the Spirit. Because the natural man, as I've said, being affected and corrupted by sin, cannot read the Scriptures aright unless taught by the Holy Spirit. But I want you to understand today that the spiritual person also needs the help of the Spirit to foster and to increase their spiritual abilities. Now turn with me again to 1 Corinthians 2 for a moment, and how this is so powerfully brought out here by the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 2 in the verse 14. And we know that there was carnality in the church in Corinth. We know that there was corrupt affections. And certainly there was a reliance upon human wisdom. And look at what the Apostle Paul says to these people here. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So notice that. Spiritual discernment is required in understanding the Word of God. And then look in verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth or discerneth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You see that? Spiritual discernment is required. And so our spiritual state affects our digestion of the Word of God. And that is exactly what the Apostle Paul brings out in chapter 3. If you look there, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. And so you see here then that their spiritual state affected their digestion of the Word of God. And let that sink in today. Because if you are walking in willful carnality and you're walking against the Lord and you know it, don't expect to come to the Word of God and find it opening itself up to you. You see, we have to come to the Word of God spiritually minded. with a spiritual attitude. And lack of spirituality will result in the dimness of our spiritual vision. We need the Holy Ghost to open up our minds and our hearts. Is it not wonderful, therefore, that in Ephesians 1 we read of the Holy Ghost being the Spirit of wisdom and of knowledge? Whenever the Spirit of God is in the heart of a believer, He will open up the mind of that child of God and give them wisdom and knowledge to receive the Word of God. Oh, how we should, as God's people today, take that upon our heart and have that as a prayer for God to fill us with the Holy Ghost. There is the inability to understand, but I want you to see, secondly, the necessity to understand. The necessity. For David says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." The word "behold" there is an interesting word. It has the meaning, obviously, to look or to regard, to pay attention to. It is used in verse 15, where David says, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." Notice those words, "have respect." And so when it speaks there of beholding, it is not merely just a looking upon something, but it involves something deeper. It is a looking upon or beholding in the sense of deep comprehension, of really looking into something, of not just glancing at it as it goes by, but of stopping, as it were, and taking time to consider. In fact, the word is used most strikingly in Zechariah 12 and the verse 10 in reference to our Savior, for it says there, "They shall look upon me whom they pierced." And it's in reference to Israel, realizing that they had taken the Messiah and they had crucified him. And it's indicating that they wouldn't just merely look upon him in a superficial way, but they would really gaze upon him. They would look upon him with understanding. Look at what we've done to our Messiah. And so think about that, therefore, as David says, "that I may behold." This is something that is deeper. It is an understanding, therefore, that impacts the heart. How important that is. Because as we think about what happened in the day of Pentecost, whenever Peter was preaching, and he said to the Jews, "You have taken Christ and crucified him." And what do we read? They were struck in the heart. They were smitten. It wasn't just that they understood intellectually, but something happened within their heart. They realized what they had done. And you see, that is exactly what David is referring to here. He's asking God to open up his eyes, to give him an understanding that leads to a life that is appropriate to those truths. A life that reflects an understanding of those truths. How necessary that is for us today. I wonder, do you have an understanding of God's Word that affects your life? We are told in the Word of God to adorn the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's such beautiful language, because it's indicating that our lives are to be like putting on a beautiful raiment, lovely clothing, that reflects the beauty of Christ and the glory of our Savior, that recommends the gospel to people. And is there not a great failure in that regard today? You see, you might know a lot. You might be familiar with the Word of God, but I wonder whether or not it has reached your heart. I wonder whether or not it's had an impact there. I wonder whether or not there is a deepness within your heart. And let us think about this negatively. What good would the Word of God be to us if we do not understand it in a deep way? Because we would be as the ungodly. What are the ungodly like with the Word of God? They treat it like any other book. They read it with ignorance and contempt. You hand them a tract with the Word of God on it, and they throw it away. They miss its life-giving doctrines. They despise the Christ it presents. And so, if we do not understand the Word of God, in what way will it profit us? But positively, the Word of God sets out God's plan of salvation and His will for us. And therefore, if we understand it, how blessed we are. If we understand it, then we will know how God is to be worshipped. We will know how to work for God and to live for God. We will know how to glorify Him. And we will be instructed in the manner that we are to please the Lord. I put that to you today. Is that not your desire? Is it not the longing of your heart to believe what God has presented to you in His Word and to obey the duty that He has presented to you? And we can do as God opens our minds to the Word of God. But how necessary that is for us today. So there is the inability, there is the necessity to understand the Scriptures. But I finish with my final point, and that is the key to understand the Scriptures. For we read in our text, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Notice those words, "wondrous things." David's direct reference is to the law, or what we would call the Pentateuch, the books of Moses. And our Savior made it very clear in His ministry that He was the great theme of the law of Moses. We think of what Christ said in John 5 and the verse 46. "Moses wrote of me. Moses testified of me." And therefore Christ was making it very clear that the law of Moses is to be read with a mindset of looking for Christ. And so we conclude, therefore, that the unveiling of the wonders of the Word of God are found when Christ is sought for in its sacred pages. I wonder, have you ever thought that way before? The Word of God is a book that presents Christ. And the key to understanding the Word of God is by looking for Christ. And how wonderfully this is illustrated. And there are so many examples in the Word of God. But let us think of the Ethiopian. We find him in Acts chapter 8. And there he is sitting in his chariot. He is reading Isaiah. And we find that he didn't understand who Isaiah was talking about. You remember that Philip came with him into the chariot and the Ethiopian said, "Who is the writer talking about here?" And what did Philip do? We read that he began at the very same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And what happened? Understanding dawned in the heart of the Ethiopian. And he realized his need of Christ and he embraced the Lord. But you see that? It was whenever Christ was preached unto him from the scriptures that his eyes were opened. And I want you to turn with me for a moment to 2 Corinthians 3. For here we have a very key passage that ties in with what David has said. Remember that early in the message I showed to you that the word open has a sense of a veil or of a blindfold. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians 3 and the verse 14. And the Apostle Paul is speaking of the Jews here. He says, "But their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses has read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." How significant these words are in connection to what we have just seen. Because Paul is making it clear there is a veil over the eyes of the Jew. Why? Because they rejected Christ. They did not see him as their Messiah, and therefore they didn't identify him as their Savior. But notice those key words in verse 14. The veil is done away in Christ. Oh, dear child of God today, take that upon your heart. And read the Word of God in the manner that is shown here. Read it through. Read it looking for Christ. See it as the Word of God that presents him. He is the subject matter. He is the one revealed and presented. And there are so many examples of this. He is the one of whom Moses and the prophets did write. And whenever we read here in Psalm 119 of David desiring to see wondrous things, and we think about one of the descriptions that Isaiah gave to Christ, and he called him wonderful. Wonderful. Under inspiration of God. And do we not therefore see that whenever David wants to see wondrous things, I suggest to you that he wants to see Christ. Isn't this one of the great problems that we observe with the Pharisees? Their resistance to Christ, it was because of their blindness, which prevented them from recognizing Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And this wasn't because they were ignorant of the law. They were students of the law. They had set themselves aside. Their whole life was dedicated to the study of the law. But they missed Christ. I wonder, is that true of you? And what a tragedy it would be for us if we were to be familiar with the Word of God and yet in all of our study we were not drawn closer to Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you by saying that this was once true of the disciples. Do you remember before the cross, the Lord began to talk to them about that? That in the days to come, he would be taken, he would go to Jerusalem, and he would be crucified. We read they did not understand the things that he spoke of. But you see, the great blessing is those men who were stricken with a lack of understanding, we find them gathered together in Luke 24, and Jesus came into the midst of them. And we read the most wonderful words in verse 45. And I encourage you to go home today and turn to Luke 24 and read the entire chapter. But we read there in verse 45 that Christ opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And so the answer is very clear then. Who gave to them understanding? It was Christ. Who is going to help you in your understanding of Scripture? It's Christ. And so it is only when we view the Scriptures as the revelation of Christ that we will observe its wonders. Therefore, let us all take upon our hearts the prayer of the blind man in Matthew 20. And this is something I suggest to you that we should all pray. For there we find he said, Lord, that our eyes may be open. Take that with you today, I encourage you. And every time you open the Word of God, pray, Lord, open my eyes, that I might see Christ. And let me tell you, whenever you do that and you see Christ, your heart will be stirred. You will benefit from the Word of God. And in all of your difficulties and trials, and I wish I had more time to explain this to you, I must end, but the soul is refreshed and renewed and encouraged and uplifted whenever it views Jesus Christ. And that is what will encourage you in these days. So long for him, desire for him, seek for him. And you will be blessed through the Word of God.